You ready, Richard? Is Adam recording? Seems like a good thing to ask. Okay, wait just a second. We'll point at you.
Stand up for this a second. Sammy, stand up.
Boys and girls, my name is Jackson Dumbo. Welcome to Journey with Jesus. Today, we're going to learn about the greatest person in history. But first, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Please help me to preach your word today. Please bless those who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Many people through history have made the world a better place. From presidents, religious leaders, artists, and scientists. The world was made better by the good work. But there is one person who stands out above all. Can you guess who that is? Yes, his name is Jesus, the most famous and best name in history. Many people know his name, but knowing his name is not the same as knowing who he is. Today, let us go back in time and explore who Jesus was and what he did. When Jesus first came to this world, not everyone loved him. The Pharisees were jealous because the people listened more to Jesus than them. They sent spies to listen to Jesus, hoping to find something to use against him. When the priests asked the spies answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." The spies were amazed. The priests were surprised. They admitted something was special about Jesus. Do you know the reason why no man ever spoke like Jesus? Because no man ever lived like Jesus. He was perfectly wise, perfectly holy, perfectly kind, perfectly loving, and perfectly sinless. Some people wonder, was Jesus really who people say he was? Was he really the Son of God? Was he the Savior of the human race? Let us read from a book inspired by God, the Bible. The Bible helps us answer our questions. Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again after 3 days. The Bible tells us two disciples were walking down an old road. They were very sad. They thought Jesus was going to be king in Jerusalem, not the Romans. But he was killed by the Romans. The two disciples were discouraged. I can imagine them saying, "How could it have been so wrong?" As they walked back to Emmaus, Jesus, the risen Savior, appeared. He walked and talked with them, but they did not recognize him. Jesus knew how they felt. He wanted them to understand a wonderful thing. His mission did not fail. Everything mentioned in the Bible about him was fulfilled, even his death on the cross. He gently said to them these words, found in Luke chapter 24, verse 25 and 27. "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. In beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You see, these disciples were very sad because they thought Jesus would set up a kingdom in Israel there and then and remove the Romans. But Jesus had come to establish a spiritual kingdom and to save them from the slavery of sin. Jesus' mission was to save the whole world, even the Romans, not only the Jews, but the whole world. He also came to prove that the bad things Satan said about God were lies, and to show everyone what God was really like. His life showed how loving and unselfish God is. His words and example showed how different his kingdom was from Satan's kingdom of greed and selfishness. What a beautiful study they had on the road to Emmaus. Jesus showed his real mission to these sad disciples. Was he really the Messiah? Here's what Jesus showed them from the Bible. 1. His miraculous birth. Long before Jesus was born to Mary, the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Most of you know the story of Jesus' birth. The Bible describes his mysterious birth, how he is both God and human. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, after his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. 2. His birthplace. The Bible tells us where Jesus would be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, Bethlehem, out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel. It is amazing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the exact city prophecy foretold 700 years before. Why did Bible prophecy tell us about the life of Christ years before? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because God wants our faith to be built on evidence, so that we can believe that Jesus is really who the Bible says he is. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned way back in the beginning, God had to do something to save us. God the Father, who knows the future, knew that Adam and Eve would sin someday. So God already had a plan to save mankind. The plan called for Jesus, the Creator, to come down to earth, live a perfect life, and die in our place for our sins. Oh, what a beautiful plan. This plan is called the plan of salvation. It's God's plan to save you and me. But you see, the plan of salvation cannot save us unless we accept it. We must...
We're gonna stop real quick. I think we might have captured some sneezes with this one. So, just go back 3 slides, and then we'll keep going from there. You are doing excellent. Oh, and everybody remember, our eyes need to be on Brooke, right? So I'll count you down, okay? Is she back for 3 slides?
Yes.
Why did Bible prophecy tell us about the life of Christ years before? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because God wants our faith to be built on evidence, so that we can believe that Jesus is really who the Bible says he is. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned way back in the beginning, God had to do something to save us. God the Father, who knows the future, knew that Adam and Eve would sin someday. So God already had a plan to save mankind. That plan called for Jesus, the Creator, to come down to earth, live a perfect life, and die in our place for our sins. Oh, what a beautiful plan! This plan is called the plan of salvation. It's God's plan to save you and me. But you see, the plan of salvation cannot save us unless we accept it. We must trust the Bible. We must trust Jesus, our Savior. We must accept his plan for us. The story of the wise men also shows us how prophecy works. These men were from a far country, east of Israel. They had carefully studied the Bible of a great deliverer and Savior. They knew it was time for him to arrive.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop that one too. Just two slides.
But you see, the plan of salvation cannot save us unless we accept it. We must trust the Bible. We must trust Jesus, our Savior. We must accept his plan for us. The story of the wise men also shows us how prophecy works. These men were from a far country, east of Israel. They had carefully studied the Bible of a great deliverer and Savior. They knew it was time for him to arrive. When they saw a new star leading them towards Judea, they knew the star was the sign of the newborn king. In Bethlehem, they found the child, Jesus, just as the prophecies had said. They bowed down and worshipped him. Have you ever gone on a long trip? Did you ever get hungry and wished that you'd pack snacks? When the wise men prepared for their journey, they would have packed a lot of food. They would have chosen the foods very carefully so that they will have enough to last for the journey. We have learned that the Bible predicted many things about Jesus hundreds of years before he was born. Let us continue to find out about these miraculous predictions. Earlier, we spoke of how the Bible predicted Jesus' birth and life. We continue. 3. His betrayal. The Bible gives us amazing detail about how a disciple of Jesus named Judas will betray him, even predicting the amount of money Judas would get from the priests. Isn't that amazing? Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 says, "So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver." The Bible records how actually this was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 and 15 says, "Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." 4. How Jesus was treated. The Bible tells us how cruel and unfair Jesus was treated. In the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, Jesus spoke through his prophets before coming to earth. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 says, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Did that actually happen? Was the prophecy fulfilled? Let's find out. From the New Testament, the second part of the Bible, Matthew, a New Testament writer, lived with Jesus and saw him with his own eyes. He wrote it in Matthew chapter 26, verse 67. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. So, yes, the prophecy was true. 5. Piercing of his hands and feet. The Holy Spirit also revealed to the Bible prophets how Jesus' hands and feet were pierced at his death. Psalm chapter 22, verse 16 says, "So they pierced my hands and feet." 6. Jesus' clothing. God told King David to write what would happen to Jesus' clothing 1,000 years before Jesus died. The king wrote in detail. Psalm chapter 22, verse 18 says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." That is amazing! The Roman soldiers who crucified Jesus did not know what King David wrote way back, but they did exactly what the Bible said. John, a disciple of Jesus, also wrote in John chapter 18, verse 28 and 24. "Then one of the soldiers took his garments and made 4 parts. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be.'" This is mind-blowing. There was no way Jesus could have arranged for all of this to happen. His birth, his betrayal, his death. Jesus was really the Messiah. He was God in human form. Because Jesus was God, he could have commanded the angels in heaven to protect him, to take him away, any time. But guess what? He did not. He could have saved himself, but that would mean he cannot save us. Friends, Jesus agreed with his Father long ago to die on the cross for our salvation. He paid the price that we sinners should have paid. Why did he do this? He did it because he loves you and me so much. As we look at that cross, we understand that God loves us more than he loves himself. We see that God's true character of unselfish love. We see that Satan's claim that God is selfish is a giant lie. Jesus said he is the good shepherd. If you have a pet, you know how to love it, right? Jesus, the good shepherd, loves and cares for his sheep. Isn't it beautiful to know that Jesus loves us so much, is it not? John chapter 10, verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The Bible tells us of a great sacrifice Jesus made for every person who ever lived. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 through 7 says, "He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. He was afflicted, yet he open, not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The Bible refers to Jesus as an innocent lamb many times. Revelation chapter 18, verse 8 says, Book of life, of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came, an innocent lamb was sacrificed and died in place of a guilty sinner. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, God told Moses to build a sanctuary. The ceremonies of the sanctuary were the symbols of the plan of salvation. One of these ceremonies was the Passover. It helped them to remember the time when God delivered his people from Egypt. The people were told to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts outside. It was a sign that they trusted and obeyed God. The Passover not only reminded them of their deliverance from Egypt, it also reminded them of the time in the future when the real Passover lamb, Jesus, would be slain. Only through the blood of the real sacrifice, Jesus, the Son of God, could sins be forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, The blood of Jesus Christ, his...
We can go back just two slides and start from there. It's all right.
The people were told to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts outside. It was a sign that they trusted and obeyed God. The Passover not only reminded them of the deliverance from Egypt, it also reminded them of the time in the future when the real Passover lamb, Jesus, would be slain. Only through the real blood of the real sacrifice, Jesus, the Son of God, could sins be forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But why did Jesus have to die? Because we're supposed to die. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin put a wall.
Sorry, we're going to go back. We caught something kind of in the ambience here. So, three slides. It's okay, take a deep breath. You're doing excellent. All right, take a look.
Only through the blood of the real sacrifice, Jesus, the Son of God, could sins be forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But why did Jesus have to die? Because we're supposed to die. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin put a wall between us and God, the source of life. If this separation was not fixed by Jesus, sinners cannot live. Adam and Eve sinned and they separated from God. They were sent away from the Garden of Eden and forbidden to eat from the tree of life.
Quick pause. There's another weird sound happening right now.
Gotta clean up all that salt.
My goodness, these interruptions. But you're doing great. Audience, you got it. You're doing good, you guys. Just remember to keep your eyes on the roof, okay?
We got this.
Not quite ready yet.
Wall between us and God. If the source of life, if this separation was not fixed by Jesus, sinners cannot live. Adam and Eve sinned and they separated from God. They were sent away from the Garden of Eden and forbidden to eat from the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24 says, So God drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden. And a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard from the way to the tree of life. And even on that sad day, God told them of his plan to save them. God spoke to the serpent Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. This word enmity means hatred or dislike. Jesus will help you and me fight the power of the devil, making you love what God loves and hate what God hates. God continued to tell the serpent, Satan, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The word bruise in the verse means to crush. Which would you rather have crushed, your head or your heel. Of course, you'd rather have your heel bruised. This is bad news for Satan. It meant even though Satan would have Jesus crucified on the cross, Jesus would be resurrected. But when God destroys Satan and his followers, it will be fatal. There will be no resurrection. The end of sin. This is good news. To remind Adam and Eve of the innocent lamb, Jesus, God instructed Adam and Eve to offer their own lambs as sacrifices. Adam and Eve had two boys named Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel also brought their sacrifice to God. The Bible says that Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer. Cain brought fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel brought a lamb as an offering to the Lord. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But the Lord did not look with favor on Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his face was sad. Cain disobeyed, Abel obeyed. The fruit represented his own good deeds. God does not accept us because of our own good deeds. He only accepts us because of Jesus' sacrifice, symbolized by Abel's lamb. Fruit could never represent Jesus. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us that without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. John the Baptist was a great prophet of Israel. God set him aside for special work, to tell people to repent and to prepare people for the arrival of Jesus. John lived in the countryside, and he had never met Jesus before. One day, when John was baptizing people in the Jordan River, he looked up and saw Jesus walking down towards him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. What did John mean? John was pointing everyone to Jesus. The sacrifice made by Jesus gives him the right to save the world. He has a royal right to forgive sin. Jesus takes away our sin when we believe in him. He teaches us how to live. Jesus' life is an example for us, and through faith in him, we are given a new life. There is no one else in all the universe like Jesus. No one else loves you and me the way Jesus does. He is the only one who can give us eternal life. Would you like to give your life to Jesus? Please repeat these words in your heart. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much. Even when I disobey you and act selfishly. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Lord, I want to give my life to you. Please bow your heads with me and let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus, the greatest person in history. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to save us. We know you love us. Today, we want to say we love you too, Lord. Dear Father, please bless everyone who is listening to your word today. Help us to have faith in you. Please bless us. Help us to know you better each day. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You want to know what? We were so enthralled in this presentation that we totally missed we totally missed the introduction to the Nature Nugget. Can we do that real quick? And you just, you introduce the Nature Nugget and look at the camera for just a second, okay?
Okay.
You know which slide she's talking about?
Yeah. It's 37. A little more.
Yeah. So this is the one. Yeah. No, this is the one you skip this time.
Just like the wise men.
Okay. Can we have little man over here sit up, please? Thank you.
Just like the wise men carefully prepared for their trip, our health gem today will be about how can we be well prepared for each day.
Yeah, let's do it one more time.
Just like the wise men.
Look up, more like you're looking at the camera. I know you're reading. Okay, I'm being told after you stop talking, look at the camera.
Just like the wise men carefully prepared for their trip, our health gem today will be about how we can be well prepared for each day.
Our